Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, Jesus said to the disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is our text. So, what do the American people believe about God? I almost feel like I should take responses from you. What do our families, our friends, our neighbors, and our youth believe about God? What do we believe about God? And don't skate past that question too quickly. If you were to take a survey, I expect you would find a general agreement among people, not universal, but general agreement, that there's a God of some type out there, and that this God is responsible in some way for creating the world. But I think you'd also find a general sense that this God, you'd find a general belief that there's not really a God who's so involved in our lives anymore. He's not directly kind of touching down and interacting with us today. So a God who's out there, who made things, but who kind of leaves the world to spin off on its own. He'd be a nice, fuzzy, generic God, on call when you need a listening ear, but content to mind his own business the rest of the time. I think what you'd find is a belief in a God who just wants everyone to get along and everyone to be happy and to feel better about themselves, more like a kindly old neighbor than anything else. The sort of God that if you go to him, he'll hand you a sweet, he'll offer you a cliche phrase, "Now be a good person," and pat you on the head and send you off. According to a major survey of religious belief among American youth in 2005, this is exactly the kind of God they believed in. And although that survey is 15 years old, I doubt that much has changed since. In fact, I tend to suspect that we all fall into a belief of this kind on occasion. We kind of slide into it because it's natural for us as human beings to believe vaguely in God, as all human societies have since the beginning of time. But it's not so natural to believe in the Christian God. In fact, a better name for this generic belief in God that's out there is deism, a belief in the God who made everything and who kind of set it spinning and is off doing other stuff now. And if we were to take a survey of belief in God, I would be absolutely flabbergasted and totally overjoyed if anyone responded to that survey about religious belief with the words of the Athanasian Creed. "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance." That would be great. Or even with the praise from today's liturgy, "Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us." The one true God whom we worship, the blessed Holy Trinity, not this generic deistic God that's out there, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he isn't only over all things and above all things and way up high, the fancy word for that being transcendence, but he's also actively, intimately involved and fully present in the world and in our lives. And the word for that is immanence. You see, what's missing from this generic, general view of God is the idea that God actually is involved in our daily life, that he's actually dealing with us, not just once long ago, but right now, today. Indeed, we believe that God's fingerprints are all over. His fingerprints are there, of course, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth by his word, out of nothing in 6 days. But his fingerprints are also there when you were formed and knit together in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, not by a process of evolution, not by an accident or by chance, but fearfully and wonderfully made by God. His fingerprints on you. And the footprints of God are stamped throughout history, starting with the Garden of Eden when God came to the garden to walk in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. But especially today, I think about God's footprint stamped in history 2,000 years ago in the person and work of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, when St. Peter speaks, he preaches a God who is active and involved, doing mighty works and wonders and signs with a definite plan and foreknowledge of events taking place, who actively keeps his promise. Listen to what St. Peter says. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, came in the flesh and was crucified and killed. But God the Father raised him up and exalted him to his right hand as both Lord and Christ. And having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus poured out this Spirit on Pentecost. The Son of God, active in the flesh, God the Father active in raising the Son from the dead, and God the Spirit active in coming down on Pentecost to create and form the church. And I'd say that's a very far cry from a nice, fuzzy, generic God who gives you sweets and speaks in cliches and pats you on the head when you feel down. But it still begs the question, what about today? What about right now in my life and in yours? When we look around at the world outside, we see a world that's full of man's works, a world stamped by human exploration and human ingenuity and human development, whether good or bad. But where are the Holy Trinity's fingerprints and footprints? And just exactly how is he active? How is my life and your life held and touched by the blessed Holy Trinity, the divine eternal unity, today and tomorrow and in all the days to come? Well, dear Christians, just look at the place where Jesus directs you in Matthew chapter 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If you want to know where the Holy Spirit is and how where the Holy Trinity is and how the Holy Trinity is active, just grab a hold of your baptism. Return to the font, to where you were washed with water and the word, swim in that stream. And you'll see that it's soaked with the power and with the work and with the presence of the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is active and alive in holy baptism. And I don't just mean that the Holy Trinity is active and alive in holy baptism when someone is brought to be newly baptized, but I mean that the Holy Trinity is active and alive in your baptism still. Your baptism is not just a past event, not just something that you look at and say, well, that was nice, now let's get on with today. No, your baptism brought you into direct contact with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, putting their stamp on your life in a way that remains to this very day. After rising from the dead and before ascending into heaven, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What does it mean to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Is it just a phrase? Is it just a formula? Is it just a bunch of words that confess our God but have nothing directly to do with him? No. In fact, throughout the scriptures, it's clear that wherever God places his name, there he is. The tabernacle in Exodus, the temple in 1 Kings, Solomon's temple, God said, "I will place my name there." And they took him seriously, that it wasn't just a word, but it was God's own presence who was there in that temple. Just as we confess that through your baptism, it is the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit who remains and abides with you still, where his name is, on you. There he is. He is present to care for you, to love you, to guide you, when needed, to rebuke and correct you, and also to bless and keep you and forgive you and load you with his promises. All of that there, still today, for you in your baptism. And we remember this when we gather in church on Sunday morning. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's like your baptism is being put back on you again, almost like you're taking your baptism and dressing yourself with it, remembering who you are and whose you are. You see, in holy baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have made you a people for his own possession. Not just random human beings, but his people now, because his name is on you. And he has made you new through your baptism. You are a new creation through water and the Word. And I want to think just briefly about what each person of the Holy Trinity has done and is doing in your baptism. First of all, there's God the Father. What was he doing and is he doing through your baptism? Well, what did God the Father do at the baptism of Jesus Christ? The heavens opened and the voice spoke, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And you know how God sees you? What God the Father says about you today? "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I say Son because he sees you covered with Christ. All your sins forgiven and washed away. And what is God the Son doing in your baptism? You were baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, which means that you were baptized into his victory over sin, death, and the devil. And you have that as you are joined with Christ. Indeed, we can say that Christ now lives in us. And because Christ lives in us, we will never die, and even though we die, we will live forever with him. And what about the Holy Spirit? What is he doing in holy baptism for you today? He is taking the holiness that Christ won by his life, death, and resurrection, and he is giving that holiness to you. And he is making you holy in Christ, and he is keeping you in your baptism, and he is promising you. He is promising you that he will raise you up on the last day. So these are the things that God has done and is doing in your life. This is where he touches you today. He's in that water, stirring it around, active, present, living with you, so that you remain his now and forever, so that you have what you need for life in this world, forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have not just a generic God, not just a God who is out there, not just a God who maybe made you in some fashion, but who leaves you alone. No, you have a God who is daily and intimately active in your life, as active and as present as your baptism that you live in each and every day. And he doesn't just give you a sweet or a pat on the head or a cliche phrase. No, he says, "You are mine and I am yours. And you have my strong name placed on you to go with you today and tomorrow and every day of your life." And so may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless and keep you in your baptismal grace. And may we as the baptized join together and bow our heads and bend our knees, saying, "Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit." And next time someone asks you about the God you believe in, you can say, "We worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance." And when they ask for more, simply invite them to come to baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.